I imagine that you probably like to keep up to date with the news, what's going on in the world, perhaps your sector or your industry. And this can be really useful because it means you have discussion points or conversation topics that might come up when you're chatting with your colleagues or in meetings during small talk, etc. Well, today I'm going to do something a little bit different than I've done before, and I'm actually going to go through a number of different business articles and highlight some of the words, some of the grammar, vocabulary, etc., to help you understand what they're talking about, and hopefully this will enable you to understand what people are talking about when you're in meetings. You might even be able to use some of this vocabulary as well. That is what is going to be on the agenda today. And don't forget to stay until the end, where I give you an expression that you probably don't know that might come up. Hello and welcome to Anna Wittuen's Business English Podcast. My name is Anna, and this podcast is designed especially for Spanish-speaking professionals who want to speak more and speak better. Every week for 20 minutes, I give you my best tips, advice, and guidance as an expert business English coach to help you improve your confidence, boost your skills, and so you can have a career that's not limited by English. If you love the podcast, I highly recommend that you sign up to the Anna Wittuen's newsletter, which I send every Friday. This is a lovely, nice, short and sweet summary of all the things I've talked about in the podcast with some translations and examples. So it's a perfect way to consolidate your learning from what you hear in each of the episodes. And the link to sign up is in the description box. Other ways that you can help the podcast include simply telling a friend or a colleague about the podcast, somebody else who you think could benefit from this type of content. You can leave a positive review or a rating or a like on your favorite podcast listening platform. You can also donate to the podcast through Buy Me a Coffee. This basically helps support me as a creator. This is a free podcast and I do all of this in my own time. And this helps support some of the running costs that I have for keeping the podcast going. Also, just before I move on, I want to let you know that I'm launching a new online course in spring 2023. In this course, it's going to be all about helping you to speak and feel more confident. And I'm basically putting together lots of amazing resources that I've built up working with all my different clients, and I'm putting it in one place. If you want to join the course, the first thing that you need to do is sign up to the newsletter. The first round of the course is only going to be available to people who are signed up to the newsletter. Just before we move on, I'd like to give a special shout out to Carlos FMM. You left a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and you said, "Value adding information. This podcast gives to everybody who wants to get away from any kind of insecurity, valuable tools and tips in a deep and aware way. I can learn English and incorporate new elements in my profession, which makes a difference." Thank you so much, Carlos. That's great. I'm really glad that you can take something away from the podcast. And I really, really appreciate your review. And as I said before, if you want to do what Carlos did and leave a review of the podcast, you can find the link in the description box. Don't forget, I'll also send you a free mini business training. If you send me a screenshot of your review, send me a DM or my email address and I'll send that across to you. As this episode is looking at a specific news article, I've left the link in the description box to this specific article. So you may want to bring it up while I'm going through the different points so that you can follow along a little bit easier or look at it afterwards, whatever works for you. Right, let's get on with the topic in question for today. Maybe you've read a news article sometimes and you thought, I have no idea what they're talking about. There's quite a lot of formal vocabulary. Sometimes it can take quite a long time to read. Don't worry, you're not the only one that feels like that. I would highly recommend incorporating the news as part of your routine, especially if you need to reference different things when you speak to people. If you have a lot of meetings with people, small talk, conversations, it's really useful, especially if any of those topics come up. It's a much better resource, in my opinion, than watching films and movies. Films and movies are great for entertainment, but they are not going to help you in a business meeting. Let's just get that out there first. I say it all the time, but just to repeat, in case this is your first episode with me, films and movies are great for watching, but if you want something to help you at work, they're not going to be much help, much support for you. There's lots of different ways that you can consume the news. I mean, you can listen podcasts, for example, you can read articles. And I would always start with like a small amount. You don't need to sort of be sitting there reading the news for hours and hours. Read 5 minutes, a couple of articles that interest you. There's also other things that you can do. For example, the BBC World News has 1 minute world news, which, as it said, is the news in 1 minute. And that's better than doing nothing, right? Always try to do a little bit rather than overdoing it and doing a lot. Start with a little bit and then see how you get on. Let me start going through some of these business articles. And of course, I'm not actually going to comment on the content of the article itself. I'm simply going to cherry pick some of the vocabulary and the phrases that I think would be really useful to highlight. Cherry pick just means select the most important things that I think are going to be most relevant for you to cherry pick. Love that one. Lovely little verb. So let's have a look at the first one. This was actually published on the 6th of March. And I'm gonna read it to you. I'm gonna read a couple of the sections here. Let's start with the headline. CBI boss Tony Danker steps aside after misconduct allegations. Remember, the headline is just the catchy bit, the thing that gets you to read the article. So the key thing we know here is CBI boss. Be very careful with boss, because a lot of people actually end up saying box. So they say, I really get on well with my box. Like, oh, I'm sure you do, because a box can't talk or give you feedback or tell you what to do. So yeah, I get on really well with my box as well. Boss. CBI boss Tony Danker steps aside after misconduct allegations. This is a really useful one, because you're going to see variations of this in different articles when it's talking about people who have important roles or public figure roles resigning. And there's different ways that you might see it. Step aside is one of them. Stand down is another one. Step down is another one. They all mean the same thing. They mean to resign from an important post or a public figure post. For example, in the UK, we had God knows how many prime ministers step down, stand down in 2022. So you will hear this type of vocabulary in news articles, and it just means to resign. The key thing you have to remember here is it's for, in inverted commas, important roles, public figure roles. For example, if I said, I'm going to stand down, well, that would just be ridiculous. Not because, well, everybody's important, but it's not a public role. I don't have a public role. So it would sound absolutely ridiculous for me to say that I'm going to step aside. It would sound weird. In the case of normal roles, non-public roles within a company, resign is absolutely fine. So these are for high-level public figure roles only. Now, he stepped aside, as it said here, due to misconduct allegations. Misconduct just means bad conduct in line with company policy. You might be familiar with the term, if you work in HR, of gross misconduct. That would include the lovely array of things like theft, physical violence, serious issues with the staff. So any type of these things are a gross misconduct by which you can be fired. Okay, the company can dismiss you, you can be fired if there is evidence of gross misconduct. Now, you'll notice here in the headline, it says allegations, which mean allegations have been made, but it's yet to be proved. So that's the stage it's in at the moment. I'm going to continue reading on here. The boss of one of the UK's largest business groups has stepped aside, resigned, while an investigation takes place into complaints about his conduct at work. Now, you'll notice here that a lot of the language they use in news articles is quite formal. So you will hear some phrasal verbs, but less perhaps than you would if you were having a normal conversation with a native speaker. It tends to be the case that the more formal the communication is, the fewer phrasal verbs and expressions are used. So it mentioned there that an investigation can take place. Take place is a really nice one. Lots of different things can take place. Conferences can take place, meetings can take place, but also investigations, which is quite nice. Notice they're complaints. Very different to compliments. Don't get confused between the two. A lot of people sometimes get those mixed up. Compliments obviously being cumplidos, so something very nice, and complaints not being very nice. Not quite the same. Conduct is just another way to say behavior, a little bit more formal. The CBI said it took all matters of workplace conduct extremely seriously, but would not comment further until the probe was complete. In a tweet, Tony Danker said he was mortified to hear that he had caused offence or anxiety to any colleague. I mean, I think those sentences are pretty straightforward to understand. To be mortified is to be, you know, a step more than embarrassed, much more of a serious feeling than being embarrassed. However, we do use it. We tend to use it in a serious context like this, but also in a more playful context. So you might be, oh my goodness, I was mortified. I forgot my notes for the presentation. I was absolutely mortified. So we tend to use it like that also as well. So in serious or kind of in playful situations too. The article then goes on to quote Mr. Danker saying, "It was completely unintentional and I apologize profusely." Now, this is interesting about apologize because a lot of people get a little bit messy with apologizing, especially if they want to apologize in a very formal way. Of course, the normal way to apologize would be just to say, I'm sorry. And that works in many different cases. We're very sorry about this. We're extremely sorry. I would always go with sorry first. But you can use apologize. Apologize profusely is obviously at the extreme end of things. I wouldn't say that you probably need to use that in many business contexts. I apologize sincerely, or I sincerely apologize would probably be a more widespread way to say that. So if you are ever in a situation where you do need to apologize and be very sincere about it, I apologize sincerely, or our sincere apologies about XYZ would be absolutely sufficient in that situation. Let's continue then. The CBI said it was first made aware of an allegation regarding Mr. Danker's workplace conduct involving a female employee in January. It said it had investigated this thoroughly at the time and dealt with it comprehensively. Ooh, I'd really like to touch on that beautiful adverb there, thoroughly. Thoroughly is also used as an adjective as well, thorough. And it means something that's very comprehensive and very detailed. So here they're saying they investigated this thoroughly, meaning they did an in-depth and very complete analysis. So thoroughly and also thorough. If somebody does a thorough analysis or a thorough investigation, it means they do it very comprehensively at a very detailed level. I'm also going to pick out that beautiful phrasal verb, which is a workplace classic, which is to deal with. If you don't use the phrasal verb deal with, you absolutely need to, and I'm sure that you've heard it. You can deal with something, which is the most common way to use deal with. You can also deal with a person, but it's less common, to be honest. And to deal with something just means to solve a situation that's causing a problem or a difficult situation. I need you to deal with this. I'll deal with it later. John, please, can you deal with this issue, for example? Work is about solving problems, right? So deal with is almost something that I use on an absolute daily basis. It's an essential in terms of business English. I'm going to read the last sentence here. Mr. Danker has headed the group for just over 2 years. So this is a sentence a little bit further down in the article, but I just thought it was useful because to head a group, or to head an organization, is to lead it. And remember that when we're measuring time, we're going to use the present perfect there because, well, technically he said that he stepped aside. So perhaps the more correct version would be Mr. Danker headed the group for just over 2 years because his time in the group has ended. But well, maybe it's a little bit of a gray area, so they've used the present perfect here, which kind of assumes that he's still in some way involved in the group or the company. Mr. Danker has headed the group for just over 2 years, so you could choose four, you could measure time with that, or you could say since 2020. four measures the time, since gives me a specific point in the past when the action started. How long have you been working in your company, for example? Or how long has your CEO headed your group or your organization? Let's recap on some of the key pieces of vocab that came up there then in this article, review, digest, analysis, whatever you want to call it. To step aside is the same as step down or stand down. It means to resign, but only if you have an important or public role. Prime ministers, presidents, CEOs, ministers, that type of thing. It's going to sound a little bit weird if you're kind of a manager in a company and you say, I'm going to stand down. It sounds a little bit over the top. Another way to say to apologize profusely, which is very formal, is to apologize sincerely. Thoroughly means very comprehensive. We can also use the adjective thorough. Deal with is an absolute business English classic that you must use as part of your vocabulary. And to head a group is to lead a group or to run a group. I'm going to put all of these little points in the newsletter as well this week with some more examples as well. So make sure you check that out too. Let's finish off with the expression that might come up that you probably don't know. And the expression, it's not really an expression, it's kind of a phrase, is it's not a big deal or it is a big deal. Essentially, the translation of it's not a big deal is no es para tanto. It's quite an informal piece of vocabulary, but it's quite easy to get confused with that one because you might think deal, acuerdo, or you know something along those lines. So it can be a little bit confusing. But essentially, if something's not a big deal, it doesn't matter. It's not really very important. Imagine that we are prioritizing different tasks. And I say, what do you think about this? Do you think it's important? Oh, no, it's not really a big deal, to be honest. Don't worry about it. I'm saying it's not very important, for now, anyway. Imagine a situation where maybe you get something wrong in front of a client. Maybe you're really, really worried about it. And afterwards, your manager says to you, honestly, it's really not a big deal. Don't worry about it. They're telling you that it's not very important, so forget about it, essentially. On the other hand, things can also be a big deal. Maybe your company is hosting a specific type of event, which is really important, and maybe somebody might describe it and say, this event is a really big deal for us. We need to make sure that we get it right. We can also call somebody a big deal in something. So we could say that a person is a really big deal in a specific sector. We could say Maria's a really big deal in marketing or advertising or agriculture. Meaning they're a really important person, contributor, leader in that sector. So to be a big deal, to be important, or to not be a big deal, to be not important. I'm going to add a little extra part to this section as well. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a sentence to you now, including this expression. And in the newsletter, I'm going to give you the answer. Write down what you hear now and check in the newsletter if you got the answer right. Honestly, I don't really see why it's a big deal. Honestly, I don't really see why it's a big deal. There you go. Good luck. Check in the newsletter if you got the right answer. That is it for today. I hope you enjoyed that episode. I hope you found it useful. It was a slightly different format. Let me know if you liked it or not. You can send me a DM or send me an email. I'll leave the information in the description box. And finally, if you love the podcast, I highly recommend you sign up to the newsletter to get a short and sweet summary of all the things I've talked about in the episode. To make sure that you get the one for this week, you need to sign up before 10 a.m. Madrid time on the 10th of March. Thank you so much again, and I will see you very, very soon. Bye-bye.